I was so afraid of believing who God said I was. I was afraid others might not agree with what I saw of myself and publicly embarrass me. I was afraid of failing to actually live up to someone's expectation of who I presented myself to be. I was afraid of appearing arrogant. I was afraid that what I saw of myself was just a lie I'd told myself because I needed to be somebody really bad. I was afraid I would be too small and not own things in faith that God had shown me. I was afraid I didn't fit the church-sanctioned role of what a spiritual gift was, making who I saw myself as invalid. Again, I was afraid I wouldn't be squeaky clean enough, therefore I wouldn't be seen as actually sanctified by the powers of authority in my church family. Afraid is the common word in all of that. Therefore, I did nothing and saw myself as nothing, doing nothing, going nowhere. That was the safest place, it seemed. Yet, somehow, I still had a burning desire to be used of the Lord and to know Jesus. Huh. Can you say cognitive dissonance? Over time, I've asked people those same questions, which my friend offered to me. And do you know? I've gotten the same sort of replies from men and women from one side of this country to the other. We are not sure how to think of or describe ourselves, and it feels like a real identity crisis. It's as if we've been taught to be afraid to think well of ourselves, but to also regret our negative internal narrative, creating yet another cognitive dissonance. We want to step up and out, as the Lord would ask, but we are truly terrified someone will see all the junk we keep hidden in our backyard. We fear they'll see the pristine front yard doesn't match the shipwrecks hidden in the backyard. They might see the old sagging boxes of ideas that didn't work out right. Strings and strings of old burned out Christmas tree lights which shine for the wrong reason. They might see the never replied to well-wishing cards, just burned up ground, just char going near and far, and a little Dr. Seuss here. They might see the old hopalumps which moved in from the dumps, the three-legged hashlets and four-eyed taggots and a line of dirty old dancing rats. And let's not forget the aging broken cars which never went far, all hidden in the backyard. And if people go into our secret spaces, we believe that somehow, everyone will know we are not who they thought we were. Friends, God has another view entirely. Just because we have a different calling doesn't mean we have a lesser calling. When we hide and build fences, it hinders our forward movement and our being able to come into the destiny God has for us. Secrets build fences, and confession builds bridges. Now, don't you know we can count on the truth that is in Christ? Everyone has a calling. Ephesians 4:1-3. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is how you do your calling. Not with big-chested declarations, but with all humility, gentleness, with patience, and bearing with one another in love. Let me encourage us all. Just because we don't know what our calling is by name doesn't mean it isn't there. It is highly likely Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians while he was in prison in Rome. But while the man was in prison for the faith, he was still talking to other believers about their calling and how to do it. I knew of a fellow who, after many years, came to the conclusion that his calling was to be, as he said, a little brown piece of paper that goes wherever the wind blows, and every now and then and again, someone picks it up to see what is written on it. I know another guy who says his calling is to be a tow truck because he's got a real knack of showing up when people need a tow. Many of us, so many, ask, "What is my ministry? Please pray for me." I want to say it again. From the moment you step out your door every day, you are in your ministry. Every day you have the opportunity to be gentle with people. Every day you have the opportunity to be kind and patient. I don't know what to call that, but it is a calling to be the person who does such things. You may not believe all that goes far, but I think you'd be surprised to learn that even a phone call to tell someone you were thinking of them and wondered if they needed anything lifts the hearts of someone you may not know is feeling tired and downtrodden. My friend, if you think you're too small to make a difference, then consider what it's like to spend the night in a room with a couple mosquitoes. Everything makes a difference. Every day is an opportunity to exercise God's values. There's a calling right there. Visit with people. It is the gospel in motion to bring a little peace and sanity to the lives of others.